All right, let's just continue from where we were last time, and then we'll continue praying. The book of Psalms 103. It said from verse 19, "The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty or his kingdom, rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Now, last time, for our prayer meeting last week, we read this scripture, and Israel asked me, and I told him to title the message, "Activation of Angels," all right? I think it makes sense, right? That's what we discussed last time, if we're not here. That's what we discussed. Let me just review it briefly, and then we'll go into more prayer for today. I hope I have my paper here. Yeah, I do. All right, so we said that this is how it works. I'll just review for a minute or so, that people ask me once in a while, is it right to command angels? Can you directly instruct angels? I don't know whether it's impossible or entirely, but I just know it is not necessarily necessary. I hope that expression is okay. Yes, it doesn't have to be like that. There are things that we have examples for in the scriptures, which we know is the way by which angels are stimulated. It says here that angels respond to the voice of God's word. I'm just going to review in a few minutes. And I said something that what gives them power, all right? When we say the voice of his word, we're not talking about just the word of God as it's coming from the mouth of God himself alone. That you and I can be the voice of his word. Are you getting my point? That he has spoken a word. And let me just explain this, I guess, just to help us. The word of God, when the angel came to Mary, Mary said, "How can these things be, seeing that I know no man?" And this was what Gabriel said to her. He said that with God, nothing shall be what? Impossible. But I've read other translations, and people have explained that literally what he said is that no word of God shall be void of what? Of power. That is, once God has uttered, are you getting me? That word has everything that is necessary for its fulfillment inside it. That's a matter of fact. The word has everything that is necessary inside it so that it will be fulfilled. So that when God's word speaks, I said this to us before, I don't know whether you remember me saying it, that, you know, he said in Isaiah chapter 55, that so shall my word be that does not return to me void. All right? Like rain that falls down from the heavens and like snow that does not return without first watering the earth and causing it to bear and sprout. It says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void until it has accomplished. Now, I'm bringing up something here. You must understand that word, accomplished. That when God speaks something, there are words he spoke, which people say that he was speaking to the Jews. And I've said to you before, please be careful when you are reading the prophets. He wasn't talking to the Jews alone. All right? If you go and read Paul, Paul explained that those things were recorded because of us. They were prophecies that were uttered, but people did not understand them. What we have in the New Testament is a code with which to break and open the seals that's covering the things that are written in the Old Testament. I'm bringing out something here. So there are words that were spoken then. People think they were for the Jews. But the truth is that they are for us, they are for this time, and those words have not yet been fulfilled. And until there's a complete fulfillment of those words, they keep hanging around. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, they keep hanging around. It may have been fulfilled in your life, but if it's not been fulfilled in my life, the word is still hanging around. Are you getting me? So that anytime that word is taken by anybody, like Jesus will tell you that whosoever shall say, he was speaking to his disciples, that is, he has uttered the word there. Anytime any of his disciples hear those things, and they are one of his disciples, all right, the person is one of the disciples, and he said, whosoever, that word again will be fulfilled in the life of that person. And the word of God is just hanging around like that. Please get what I'm saying. And like I said to us several times before, there is nothing on earth that he hasn't described. There is nothing. There is no situation you have now on earth that the word of God does not, let me put it like this, that God hasn't spoken something specifically about it. There is nothing, you know? Something happened in my house this morning. Early in the morning, one of my children was not feeling well, all right? But remember when he just walked into the room and he was crying and crying and crying. He was just crying. And, you know, I don't know whether I was dreaming or something. Or the cry, there was the way I just woke up, I was startled. It was, you know, wailing seriously. So his mother called him, "What is the problem?" He said that his head is paining him and all of that. So So his mother grabbed him. Maybe she knew I was awake and prayed for him. And for certain reasons, you know, my daughter was ill before and she just recovered. So when this one just started this morning, I was very, very angry. I don't know that's my point. I was really, really angry. I was angry. I just got up. I didn't see anything. I think I first walked out. I don't know what I went to go and do. I went to go and get something. And finally I came. I carried him, put him on my hands. I didn't pray. And I'm going somewhere. That's why I'm talking about it. I didn't pray. I just carried him. I just held him there. And I was nodding to myself. I was just nodding to myself. After I said I wanted to lie down, I put him down. I just kept on walking around. All I was thinking of is that if I finally, I now knelt down beside him, held his hand, and I began to pray. I said, Holy Spirit, insight. That's what I just kept on saying. I need understanding. You know, it's not just, I rebuke this. No, I'm not rebuking anything yet. How did you get here in the first place? I don't know what I hear what I'm saying. Yes, well, you know, a lot of things are just, well, things are unique to people, right? So in my situation, there are many things I was thinking about. So I didn't just start praying immediately. In fact, did I end up praying for him? I'm not even so certain. Well, I think I must have. It's part of, you know, just part of Christian makeup. I must have. But the point was, I just knelt and I held his hand. And I began to pray. And all I was praying for, this is where I'm going. I wasn't praying for him because he said he was not feeling well. What I was praying for was what? Insight, understanding. I need to know. Are you getting my point? I just need to know. Things began to come to my mind. I remember Oswald Chambers said that, John Gillick said there was a time they called him and said his son was ill. He got there and he prayed very hard, hot prayer for the boy. The boy got well on the spot and he got up and disappeared. He left. Then shortly again, they called him again, and the boy had relapsed. This time around, he said, I couldn't feel the fire erupting from inside me. But he said, all he did was just sit down there. He took a Bible and began to read. And he just said under his breath to the devil, kill him if you can. That is, I dare you, I double dare you to kill him if you have the power to kill him. But he just sat down, and slowly the boy began to recover. He didn't pray for him as the first time he came around. But this time around, he just sat down there and was just meditating. He sat down there. By the power of his presence, all right, driving out the evil that was afflicting this young boy. I'm reading an issue. So, you see, different situations may have different ways by which you will tackle them. In fact, this story came to my mind. Let me not forget it. Let me quickly add it to it, and I'll get back to what I was saying. Can I get into the story in one of his books that, and this is very important, let's take lessons from these things, all right? When you hear these stories, use them in your life. Once he traveled, and then the daughter went to school, and she had something on her hands, or she had a skin problem anyway. I can't remember exactly what. And he's a man of faith. Amen? The wife called him and said that, your daughter wants to know what to tell the teacher. You understand my point? So he said that, all right, don't worry. I'll call you later and tell you what the girl will tell the teacher. Because as far as it was concerned, my daughter is well. There is nothing wrong with her. Now, so that had gone on for a few days. So that last day, the wife now called that, look, tomorrow the teacher has to have a final word on what they are going to do about the situation. I think something was wrong with their hands. I can't remember. So he was very busy. So he said, okay, just hold on. Don't worry. I will call you in the morning. I'll tell you what to say. And he said the whole night, all right, he decided he was going to not really, okay, let me say, pray about the situation. But this is how he handled it. He said he was going to remain awake and listen to this carefully. And meditate upon the word of God about the situation. So he will take the Bible and read and speak the word and confess it until he starts feeling sleepy. Then he'll go back to sleep. And then he will tell himself, I'll wake up in 1 hour's time. 1 hour's time, he'll wake up. And he will start again. He did that off and on throughout the night. And in the morning, he called his wife and said to her, tell Pat that he should go to school. And tell the teacher she's well. I can't remember exactly the words he used now. The point was that by the time Pat got up to go to school, all the skin problems had vanished. I don't know why you got my point. That he just woke up during the night, you understand, and focused on the word of God and used the influence of that power, that the influence of the word of God, the power of that word to drive out that affliction from the life of his daughter. And I keep on saying this thing, and many of us are guilty, me also. All right. The problem we have is that we don't give what? Enough attention. Are you getting my point? Yeah, we don't. We don't. The word of God is alive. It is real. It's living. It's living. Now, it's there in the realm of the spirit. What it needs is a channel by which it connects to the earth. It's like clouds. You understand? You know what they call lightning? Yeah, it's generated up there in the, is it stratosphere or something sphere, you know, at some point, in the clouds, but it's generated up there. Periodically, all right, it discharges to the earth. It's a place through which it discharges. As it's discharging, that's what you call lightning. You understand? It looks for the, well, there are many things, but usually the highest peak around that has a proper charge to receive it. That's what it discharges through. That's how the word of God is. It's looking for the heart of faith, through which it will discharge the power that he has generated into in the clouds into the earth. And I dare to say, and that's what I'm trying to explain here, I dare to say the major problem is that we are not, which word do I use now? We have not built ourselves true focus on that word enough to cause that lightning to discharge through us. That's what I'm saying. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? Anyway, just that's just by the way. So I was explaining the principle that, so you see, different things, all right, require different methods by which you will handle them. So that morning, I just didn't start praying. I just started meditating. I still remember. I just said, Holy Spirit. Suddenly, I remember that the Bible says that he will lead you into all truth. Do you understand my point? He said, you will lead me into all truth. He will remind me of the things that I have learned already, the things that Jesus has spoken. And I kept on saying that and saying that, because it's not just about praying blind prayers. Are you getting my point? No. There are times God will give you specific understanding on how to handle a specific situation. Do you get my point? Yes. You know, there are times, things like something happened in my house the other day. I won't give you details, all right? Initially, I was angry. Then suddenly, I remember something. That a few days before, I had prayed about the situation. And the turmoil that's happening is actually the beginning of the solution to that problem. I don't know what I get. You get what I'm going to explain? Listen, when Jesus will cast out demons, he will rend the person's soul, the Bible will say. But actually, what's happening is that they are going out. Do you get my point? They are on their way out. I read a preacher, I'm not very sure which one now, describe how he prayed for somebody who was demon-possessed once. And he just knew inside him that demon was gone. But nothing changed. In the name of Jesus, I command you, evil spirit, tormenting this guy, to get out. Nothing changed. And they took the person away. Then some days later, they called him and said, look at what is happening now. This is happening there. That this is exactly how this thing happened the day it started. He said, don't worry. That day I spoke the word to that evil spirit to get out. Now it is going out. There was turmoil in the house. There was trouble. There was disturbance. But he said, there's no cause for alarm. Are you getting my point? Just relax. The demon is on his way out. If you don't understand, what do you start doing? You start rebuking this. The spirit has been rebuked. That's why he's going out. Don't disturb the exit. I can't bore you with stories, but one just came to my mind again. There are times I prayed about situations, and the answer God gave us was scatter everything. And before I start getting worried, I suddenly remember that this is an answer to the situation. Last Saturday, remember, I prayed the prayers with this person here. In fact, that was the thing that was just strong in my mind. I said, this week, you know, normally I bless the week, the doors will open, but the one that was strongest is the doors will close. I don't know if you're around on Saturday. That was one I kept on going back to. That this week, doors are about to close. Are you getting my point? I said, doors are about to close. Because, like I say all the time, the entrance to breakthrough is an open door. Amen? If you believe that, say amen. Amen. The entrance to a trap is also what? An open door. Go and ask every rat that died in a trap. The door was open. You're just walking by the road. You'll see meat there. You should have asked yourself, why did these people in this house suddenly love me all of a sudden? Anytime I see rats near my house, I tell my cousin, Shem, I say, Shem, we have guests, feed them. No, I'm serious. That's what I used to tell him. I say, oh boy, we have guests, feed them. He knows what I'm saying. But they stray around my house once in a while. I say, he just come and say, I thought I saw a rat here just now. I just say, oh boy, we have guests, feed them. He knows what I'm saying. He'll prepare one nice meal and then put it where they will see it. Then that's the last we know. One day, the meal disappears. And then that's the end of it. The rat has eaten the meal. That's eaten the meal. And it has gone somewhere. And because of the kind of thing that we use, it's ordinary. It works like wonders, you know, in the city. Yes, just put it in food. They will eat it. You know, I understand the way it works. It slowly destroys their liver over days. They might die like 2 days later, 2-3 days later. All right, so they tend to die at home. You know, when you are sick, you don't go out. They are falling sick. Oh, the point I'm making is that, you see, free food, nice startup. You get the point? So sometimes doors have to close. They have to close. And the annoying part is that some of those doors look very nice. This was going to be the door to step you into abundance. This was going to be the door to step you into that thing you have been looking for. And it closes. And it closes. And there are all kinds of things we are looking forward to. All kinds of times, a lot of times, doors close. That's why I every time have to emphasize that your life is not controlled by the devil. Are you getting my point? Because if you don't realize it, you will think the devil is at it again. This devil has gotten me again. No, doors close. Why? There are doors that are not doors, they are traps. They are not doors to break through. They are open doors into traps. And so when you're about to enter the trap, the Lord closes it. There's a story I've told severally about a place where I got a job once in Lagos. The day I was supposed to resume, something just scattered and all of that. If you read, I think if you read some of my books, I told the story here and there. What I've never added, all right, is the fact that years later, as I was telling the story, one of my friends, all right, you know, he used to work in Lagos and he is a pharmacist, so he knew a lot of those hospitals. And I said, which hospital is that? I told him. He said, that one, thank God he didn't work there. I've never added that to the story. So I think this is my first time of adding to any story. He said, that one, forget it. It's good. He said, that man didn't used to pay. That he will owe you for months. He won't give you your money. Are you getting my point? Yeah, for me, the one side of it I always saw was that after that, I knew what God wanted me to use my time to do. Are you getting my point? But one other side I never saw until years later when I was telling the story to this friend of mine, Jude, was that if I had worked there, I would not have enjoyed it. Do you follow the point I'm making? That's why doors have to close once in a while. What I'm saying that is that, you see, we handle situations differently. And that's why I tell believers, don't focus, when you are praying, let me say it again, because we hear the opposite a lot. Don't focus too much on the material substance. When they say confess, 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 I confess it, I receive it, Alexos, LS 430. It's mine, it's black. It has a metallic gray alloy wheels. Hallelujah. The bumper is black. Amen. Praise God. And then the grill is shiny. Amen. 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 And is it bad? Well, it's not totally bad. It's not necessary. That's what I'm saying. They have made it look, we have made it look sometimes, all right, that you have to be specific. Tell the Lord the height. You want this man to be 6 foot. 6 feet, 1 inch, and a half, 0.26. Are you getting my point? Complexion, you go and get a spectrophotometer to measure the intensity of the darkness of his skin. Is it bad? No. It's unnecessary. Describe the job accurately. You want to work 8 to 4:35 every day. This is the exact amount. Your boss must be a man that has this kind of wife. And then your subordinates must be young men between this age and young women. What's your problem? They said, be specific. You have to be specific. That shows you have faith. No, it shows you are confused. No, really, it does. And you are trying to pretend as if you are not. Now, going somewhere. What are you supposed to do? Let me use car as an example. To use how I pray about things like that, if I need to ask the Lord for it. I know a lot about cars. I do. If you know me well, you know, say, I know. If I'm watching TV, that decide to analyze how they make one, I will sit down there. I'll watch it very well. I know a lot about cars. But one day I learned it, all right, what I mean is that I may like a kind of car, you understand, but I hardly ever specifically pick that one up in prayer. I hardly ever do. The reason is because I know what I really want. What I really want is comfort. Are you getting my point? What I really want is reliability. I don't like sports cars. I'm not running anywhere. Yeah, with all the knowledge I have about different kinds of sports cars, you give me 100 million naira today, I won't buy one. Why? The seats are too hard. They have usually 2 seats. If they manage, put one extra one behind. No luggage space. Those little things. It doesn't save my life. I'm not hurrying anywhere. You can do 0 to 100 kilometers an hour in 4.5 seconds. Once you reach checkpoint, what will you do? Nobody to slow down. In Nigeria, accelerating fast doesn't mean anything. You will slow down. It's true. You will soon meet bad spot. So those things, they don't bother. So I mean, I'm not interested in sports cars. I like cars that have space. Amen. I can stretch my leg. Amen. I can carry extra people. If not for ministry, I wanted to have 12 children. When I asked my friends, they would say, Abanki, how far? Number, what are you on now? I said, we have to make sacrifices. Amen. So I have always been like that. That's the kind of person I am. If I was an American, I would drive a stretch limo. That's the kind of person I am. Now, I know the things I really want. Having said that, all right, in prayer, I just summarize it. I leave the rest to God to decide. Because there are cars better than the ones I've ever seen that they are making for me. I don't know whether I hear what I said. There are cars better than the ones I have ever seen that is being made for me. I just leave the rest to God. I tell him what I really want. I've never really seriously prayed about the car must be very fuel efficient. You know, there are prayers you have never thought about. Because the kind of cars I like, they are not fuel efficient. So I can't pretend. So some people may be an issue with them. You don't want to spend too much money on fuel. Little, at the end of the day, what God gives you is what you really need, which is more important than what you want. Mike Murdock said, men hardly reach for what they need. They only reach for what they want. But God knows your need. You only know what you want. Are you getting my point? So now, please, I digress a bit. I'll get back to what I was saying. The point I'm making is, so when people talk about confession, you know, focus on it. I say, no, it's not necessary. I don't think it is necessary. What is necessary, all right, is what you must focus on because it is necessary, is to focus on the word of God. Like the one I give all the time as an example. No good thing will you withhold from them that walk uprightly. There's a man who I asked to help me buy something, all right? I'll give him some money. He's in the U.S. So I sent him a mail a few days ago. I said, well, how far? He said, that this is the only problem he's having right now. That it hasn't worked. This, he tried this one. Something went wrong. He tried the next one. I sent him a mail. This is what I'm going to. I said, don't worry about it. My life is... that's what I wrote. I said, my life is never an accident. I said, the particular one God prepared for me, you are just waiting for it. Some people say, the devil is at it again. No? The devil wants to stop my blessing. He can't. Is he stupid? When they asked him about Job, what did he say? I've left the matter. Is that not so? The devil does not... Listen, his focus, at least, I know about my life, and I believe that's the same situation with your own life. What he does in your life is to tempt you. Did you hear what I said? What he does is what? Tempt you. He doesn't say, the devil has said, there are people inside this place. The devil said you will never prosper. Tonight, we will tell him you shall prosper. I will never say amen to that. No, God knows I'm not bragging. I've never been in a prayer meeting, the utter that kind of statement, and I say convincing him. I can say an amen so I will look like I'm cooperating. No, you know, when you're in a crowd, you don't want to be like spoil sport. When the preacher was talking a lot of nonsense, and he came near me. And as he got to my ear, and he was talking it, I was nodding like this. In my mind, will you get away from my front? Do you think I believe what he has said? But in his office, I was doing like this. Because the man is performing, and you want to spoil the performance. The last one that happened, it's two times I have in my mind now. And both of them were money raisers. The last one that happened, I won't mention the name of the church. One church, one big church. I went there, they said, this man has come to that. I went. And he had a very powerful wireless microphone. So I thought he was still on the stage, which stage was very far away. I was somewhere in the congregation, maybe just sitting like maybe in the middle, like there. I didn't know he had left the stage. And he was shouting loud. So I was hearing on the speakers. I was not thinking of him. I thought he was on the stage. Then I lifted my head, and there he was in front of me, and looking in my direction. I had to put up a smile, and not for him. Amen. I didn't believe what he was saying. I still remember, as he was walking towards me like this, maybe he says that there's a troublemaker somewhere there. Let me go and harass him into agreeing. Apostle, you know the person I'm talking about. The Lord is good. Now, what I'm trying to say is that, just by the way, you're just joking. Now, the issue is that, there are things that you pray that kind of prayer, I will never say a convincing him. Never. I will just leave the matter alone. The devil cannot determine I won't prosper. He can't determine by himself and he will be successful in it that, Pastor Banky, you will never get married. You know, those kind of things. He can't. The only thing he can determine to try to do, this is what I'm going to, is temptation. He can say to himself, I will never leave this man alone. That's his problem. He's the one that will get tired. Do you understand my point? That's his problem. But he doesn't have, you must understand this, I'll talk about that later, but there's a little book I'm working on, when we finish this one, that one will come out, they deliver from the power of darkness. Alright? You'll see that he doesn't have the power.
to just decide that this person won't do well. He doesn't have it. The only power he has is to come and talk to you and say, you want to do well? Let me show you a quick way. Are you getting my point? That's the only thing he does. Let me not sit on that, all right? But that's the only thing he can do. He'll say, this is what you want. Eh? Let me show you the quick. When you start falling for it, then you are giving him the power. And such powers are not broken by a night of prayer. Say, the devil say, I won't do well. Let me tell him I will do well. Listen, you are the one that gave him the power to make sure you don't do well. You will not feel vexed, collect them back. You can only collect it back through repentance and the changing of your ways. Then you now drive him away. That's the way it goes. Just by the way, all right? I'm trying to explain something as I'm going on. So the point is that I can't accept there's a devil that's stopping my matter. No. He can't be the one. He can't be the one. We give him too much attention. I've been saying this again and the people think I'm kidding. We give him too much attention. Pastor Banky, I think if the devil never, if he has the power and he's the one, you don't have the solution by shouting. The solution is, why did he get that power? What? How did I give it to him? And until I take it back through that way, I can shout from now till tomorrow, it's to no avail. You're getting my point? So I simply said to that man, don't worry, my things, they're in God's hands. I said, you are waiting for the one the Lord prepared for me. Don't worry. I keep praying for you. You will soon find favor. Are you getting my point? Because the one that the Lord prepared for me, my life is not an accident. They make things and put my name on it. This, you go to Nigeria, is for one man, that is, the man manufacturing it doesn't know, but he's been instructed on how to do it because it's mine. You're getting my point? So it is not the devil. I'm looking at something here. So I don't go into too much details of specificity because no good thing, back to it now, will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. That word is full of what? Power. I'm back to it. That's where I started from. I'm not too specific in them. I want to get married. The woman must be 5 feet, 6.6615 inches tall. It's not necessary. She must weigh, what do you weigh? Okay, she must weigh 42.5 kg. They gain weight. I have found out. Come to my sitting room. I have two pictures upstairs in my house. And both of them are hand drawings. Both of them contain my wife. And I was looking at it this morning. I sat down looking and I shook my head. One was from a photograph we took when we first met. One was the one we took like 10 years after. And you see the cheek. That's what I'm saying. As for my own cheek, it's guaranteed. That's changed contour. You get my point? I'm even talking about the woman's own. I look at this morning, and I smile to myself. Say, the Lord is good. you get my point? You can't be too specific on those kind of things. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Gabriel said to Mary, that word has everything in itself. It has everything that it needs to fulfill. It has it contained in itself. And Mary did not know she needed a manger. You know that? Mary never prayed, say, as this child is being born, he's a great child. Let wise men come from the east. Did she ever say that? I want angels dancing in heaven during the birth of this child. Did she ever say that? No, she never did. The wise men, the angels, the shepherd, Mary, her husband, the goats, everything. The only place they could meet was the manger. And the Lord arranged that there was no opportunity for them to get decent accommodation apart from when they were desperate because of the cold. They had to get to a warm place. I was reading again this morning because I do that a lot. I just saw near my bed, happiest people on earth, the most shakarine. So I picked, that's how I read, all right? I just picked and read about two chapters again this morning. And I read the story again in which he organized a program in Texas. Auditorium that seats, I think, 3,000 or 6,000 people. And the Lord so did it that not one person attended. I read it this morning again. I marveled. I said, God, indeed you are great. The ability to create Jupiter is easier than that one. Yes, to create Jupiter is not hard. To make in a city of millions of people, with adverts on TV, radio, maybe newspapers, with all the noise, to ensure that only the organizers showed up, seven of them. I read it again this morning. I have to marvel that God is great. Do you get my point? No, imagine. We come up for here and say, praise God. We are going to do something great in this town. We now go and hire indoor sports hall. That's Nnamdi Azikiwe Stadium here. We are on radio. We print flyer. The day we reach there, only Kingdom Work co-workers are there. That kind of thing. You know they rebuke devil, that kind of thing. The devil can't do that one. You know there are things that the devil doesn't have the power to do. He does. That one, you will get there, you will worship the Lord. Because only he could have pulled that kind of stunt off. You open a shop, main street, nobody entered. 1 week after you opened. It's not devil. There's no ancestral curse that can affect that change. Only the Lord. Thank God, open my eyes, let me see this wicked angel. Is it only an angel can stop people from entering? The demon can't, because human beings are wicked, they will conquer the demon. If they want to enter, they will disturb the demon out of the demon, go move. But for no, you open shop dead in the center of town. You are selling what everybody needs. 2 weeks you've been there, nobody has entered. Don't close the shop here, just lock the door, bolt them, go to church, go and do praise worship. 2 hours. Then ask one simple question in prayer. A simple request. Say, Lord, that which I see not, teach thou me. There are things that cannot be the devil. There are things he can't pull off. I read the Moshakara again this morning. I had to marvel at the greatness of God. You are getting what I'm saying? Right, back to my point. No good thing will live withhold from them that walk uprightly. Eh? Mary didn't have to specifically confess. The angel went, locked all the doors, filled people in. The one people did not fill, 2 angels took accommodation in emergency. Just so that they can say everywhere is full. And maneuvered her down to the place where she was supposed to be. Don't forget, for her to even come down so that the child would be born in that place, the emperor had to issue a decree that everybody go home. Are you getting my point? I mean, that's why it confused Pharisees. When they say, come, there's one Jesus from, he was born in Bethlehem, right? But he was from Nazareth. So when they said, we have found the Messiah, the Pharisees said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? They didn't know he didn't come from there. Because the Lord moved him to go and come from somewhere else. You get what I'm saying? That is inside that word. That's why when we want to confess, we must focus on it. We waste too much energy, say, Lord, the car must have 4 tires and 2 spares. Praise God. It's a special one. Amen. It's not necessary. Does it work? Let me just quickly say this. It may work. You will see testimonies. People say, brethren, I kept on confessing. I kept on confessing. I refused to stop the confession. And I persisted in the confession. And I confessed until in confessing I began to confess. And I finally it came to pass. Look at the car now. It has 4 tires. And 2 spares. Praise God. Banky is never impressed. I feel like you spend too much energy on that little achievement. Because it's spiritual energy. All that confession is spiritual energy. The story I like to tell all the time to illustrate that is the day, I don't know what really happened, but I read it somewhere. This man, Buddha, the one they call Buddha, forgot his real name now, said one day he was by the river and he saw a man who had practiced one of those Eastern practices they call austerity. So the man had practiced austerity for 20 years. So he walked up to Buddha and said, for 20 years I've practiced austerity. Now I can walk across the river. So Buddha looked at him and said, 20 years to walk across the river. Why didn't you give the ferry 1 shilling? He would have carried you across. You 20 years on a spiritual phenomenon just because you want to walk on water. Why didn't you just buy a boat? You just bought a boat and all of us will be moving around on water. Not only you. Are you getting my point? Sometimes, that's some of those things we testify, it works. That's why I'm not impressed. Not because I'm saying never works, but I think you have wasted energy. But if you wake up, when you remember the car matter, Lord, thank you very much about that car. You know, I prayed about it, and I thank you. Because no good thing will leave withhold from them that walk uprightly. Every day you don't have a car, you'll be full of thanksgiving. That if it was good today, I would have had it. Do you follow the point? No good thing will leave with you. All the days I was in Lagos, I did not have a car. Until just before I left. I'm not trying to feel happy. I look back, I literally didn't need one. In fact, it was good for me that I did not have. Friend of mine bought a car once. I told the story before. He would drive the car for one day, then the car would drive him for 2 days. Yeah. You know, you can own a car. It drives you for one day. You drive it for one day. Every time you're in the mechanic, okay, let me hold this side. The car is driving you. The time you have been making money, you are with the mechanic. The car is driving you. Don't let it happen. If it happens to you twice, believe me, sell it. You say, I won't get good value. You think you have good value as things are? I'm telling you the truth. Go back to trekking with dignity. I'm telling you, it's a matter. So my friend then, he said something, that's where I'm going. One day, one will discuss it when in the office. He said, have you noticed that these days I've been having money? I said, what happened? He said, I stopped repairing my car. That I jacked it up. It's in front of my house. He said, since then, I've been buoyant. I'm telling you the truth. The guy is not a believer, a Muslim. We're just telling me that, that I've noticed that since then, I always have money. Before, the car used to collect tithes and offering, special seed, first fruit, everything from this guy's pocket. Are you getting what I'm saying? And I had a colleague then. He's an associate professor now in Benin. When I see him, say, where's your car? He says, at home. What happened? He said, I vowed I will never keep for fuel. So, you know, those fuel used to be scarce a lot. Once first scarcity starts, he parks the car. So I look at that period, all that while, I wasn't going anywhere. I had the triangular life. Triangle, this is how it was. Church, work, and my house. Visit, no, I didn't need to visit anybody. Church, work, and then work and house were in the same premises. I was working in Lagos University Teaching Hospital. They were in the same compound. So work to office was literally, no exaggerating, literally was 2 minutes trek. I lived in RMO, for those of you who know Luz, and I worked in a morbid anatomy department. Just come down from the staircase, boom, you're in the office, 2 minutes. So my life was not actually triangular, it was actually a straight line. Just from Diaraba to Yaba for church. And church, it was simple to go to. It was very simple. It was too easy. If necessary, we could trek. I'm telling you. So what was I doing with the car? So I can maintain it. So that I'll say, okay, I own one. So God, because I said to him, no good thing will live withheld from them that walk up uprightly. He made sure no good thing was withheld from me. And the major good thing that time was, make sure that boy doesn't have a car. This is when people ask me, that, how do I take bus from here to here? I say, in Enugu. I say, I'm very sorry. I've never really taken bus in Enugu. Yes, I said, no, I don't know. They said, people come to my house. Say, how do we get the bus from your house to this particular place? There are people asking me that, please, are you going to ESBS? If you know how long it took me to know that I passed by ESBS to my house every day. I've been looking like, ESBS. I don't know. I live near... He said, that's ESBS. Okay, enter. I said, sorry, it's not my fault. I drove into Enugu and I've been driving since. Are you getting my point? No good thing will live with hope from them that walk uprightly. That word is loaded. It's loaded. It knows the things. Now I was saying that the word of God is out there. It knows, look, the word of God is alive. If you go and read Hebrews chapter 4, it said, the word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. The word living is what I'm explaining. And living there, what he was saying is that it has life in itself. It breathes, it walks, it talks, it can see, it can make judgments. That's what he meant by living there. He wasn't just talking about the word has power. That's the word active. When he says, if you use King James, New Americans, I say the word of God is alive, is living and active, or quick, if you really have a King James. New Americans, I say it's living and active. That word living, that's what I'm explaining. It means it's alive, as in you are alive, amen? What are the characteristics of living things? You understand my point? Let's go by it. Movement, respiration, excretion, nutrition. There's one I want to get to, irritability. I like that one. That it can react to situations. That's what I'm going to. It can react. There's a way you behave towards it. There's a way you respond to it. It's alive. Commandments are not alive. The word of God can issue commandments. That's not the word of God, just a commandment. Are you getting my point? The word itself is alive. It responds to situations. So it's not just God says, thou shalt not kill. That's a commandment. The word, when it says, thou shalt not kill, it removes the willingness to kill from you. I don't know what I heard I said. He said the law came by Moses. Grace and truth. Jesus looked at that woman and said, Hafa, he said, nobody condemned me. They've all gone. Where are your accusers? They've all gone. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. That thing was not counsel. You don't say, okay, come. This kind of sin, it go enjoy you one day. No, that one is counsel. Go and sin no more. All that woman needed to do was say amen. Instantly, everything inside her that wants to commit adultery will vanish. Because the word is alive and active. What I mean is this. If I say, no good thing will live with me from them that walk uprightly, they can bring me a brand new, maybe 7 series BMW, and I'm so excited over it. Oh, praise God. And the Lord looks at my whole, the word, not even the Lord now. You understand my point? The word looks at my whole life. Irritability, it can respond. 7 series BMW, this young man's current life. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. This is not good for him. There are many things. You can say, I have not placed him yet, or he has not reached yet a place in life to spend 25% of his monthly income buying fuel. It's not a good thing. You want to maintain the car? Because charities demands 1 million naira down payment to register your car like patient. No, when you go to hospital, you go buy a card. Card, Costaris card for BMW is 1 million if you didn't buy from them. In case you did not know, I've told you now. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Say, this boy doesn't need this car. He can't give, if I give him 1 million and he gives to Costaris, he will be poor for life. Yeah, because these are spiritual things. God wants to know whether you know how to manage money. There are things that have happened in my life recently. Before I said, oh, Lord, do I have to go through this? And suddenly the answer, because I'm a teacher. So God has to explain a lot of things to me. Then listen, I needed you to make this choice so that you will count this as done for the excellency of this. Then that becomes an excuse to bless you in this area later. There are things that he would have just walked into my life normally. He said, no, let me put you to the grind, like they say. I want to make the choices at each point. Because I need to document that this is how you made the choice. So God will say, if I give him this, he could pray that I should send 1 million. And I could answer him. Except that whether I sent it or not, 1 million is 1 million. And if a young man takes 1 million, he has never given 100,000 as offering, not 10,000. He has never helped anybody with 50,000. Then he goes to pay hospital card fees for a car, 1 million. I, the Lord, will make sure he's poor. Because he's stupid. I thought the joke I cracked with the young lady. I went to buy a phone for my wife. We're not discussing. I said, why? I find it very hard to buy very expensive phones. I said, I always feel bad. So this one is 95,000. HTC. BlackBerry. What's that one? Touch. See Samsung Galaxy there. I said, what thing they do me be say? It's not as if it's bad. That is bad. Good things are good. Actually, I can even buy some of that. I just ask, what are you adding to my life? The one I'm using, is it complaining? It's not complaining. Who am I trying to? A lot of people carry such phones. They're just trying to impress somebody. Don't mind them. I told her, I said, listen, the church I go to was a joke. I said, our pastor checks our offering versus our phone. I said, when you're about to enter, he looks at your phone. How much is this phone? 65,000. I said, how much offering did you give last month? As if it's less than 65,000, he will give you a refund of your offering and drive you away with your phone. The guest said, oh, that's a very good church. Oh. It was a joke. But the point I'm just making is that. I said, no, you cannot be. Now, this is where I'm going. You cannot be paying 1 million naira to Costaris to maintain a car. I want to be straight. Say, Pastor Bank, I end up being dogmatic. I am being dogmatic. If you have never given an offering of 1 million naira, it is forbidden you do such things. You decrease. Listen, you cannot service a car with the amount of money you have not used to service human beings. What is it? You go and deposit card fees. Nobody said the motor spoil. Hospital card registration. That kind of car. That, as they come out, God will just arrange boys wait for the express. Only you. All the police will go and leave that day. They will bring you out. They will beat you. None of your bones will be broken, but you will be injured. You say, look at him, foolish boy. Where did you get the money? It's an angel speaking through them. And they finish, they will just look at the car and say, boss, wait a minute, we'll take this car. He said, move back. They will just shoot the car. Shoot him. And they give you the keys. And they will walk away. You will look for them. You don't see them again. Whether they are demons or angels, they have vanished. So I said to the young woman that day, I said, okay, for our church, pastor will ask us, last month, how much did you send your mother? I said, once it's lower than the amount you used to buy the phone, he will beat you. And I'm teaching young people, you're misbehaving in life. You see a small boy, he can't buy a recharge card. He's carrying a phone of 85,000 naira. Asking for money for a recharge card he does not have. One of my friends that day, he said his brother will meet him and show him, man, see what the phone I'm using now. Then he will call him later at night and say, what now? Go send me a small card now. Wait, how far? He will call me and say, bank, you see me. Oh. This guy is using the phone I can't afford. Then he's calling me to send him a card. Why doesn't he sell the phone and buy a card? What I'm saying, let me get back to my message. Let me not get too sidetracked. No good thing will he withhold. God will say, no, don't give him. This is going to render him poor. Are you getting my point? I said, Mike Murdoch said, men don't reach for what they need. They reach for what they want. And sometimes what they want is not good. So when they settle down and confess, this is, I get it. In the name of Jesus Christ, I claim it. I untie it. It's bound. Evil spirits are binding it. I remove them. I lose them. Come and agree with me. Whatever we can agree with and lose, shall we lose? They lose. After a long time, the Bible said, he gave them meat after their loss. Ah, leave me alone. You want to chop? Chop! But that only brought leanness into their souls. Are you getting the point? Because they are focusing on that material outward thing. No, but if they had focused on no good thing, will he withhold from them that walk uprightly? They will have known that manna is very nutritious. They will have understood that why are we shouting for meat? No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. They will have understood that manna is good. And like my pastor preached those days, before I met him, I read it in one of his newsletters. He said that was the reason. That was the reason why Joshua was strong. That was the reason why Caleb was strong. He said that was the reason why they did not doubt. Their ability to face the giants and be strong in the face of the giants was because they fed on manna and manna alone. That they never wanted all the meat that was flowing around. All the garlic that they were dreaming of. No. The title of that message, Manna, the Food of Champions. You are getting the point I'm making? No good thing inside that word. It arranges the kind of car I should drive at the correct season. It arranges the kind of house I should live in at the correct season. It arranges it. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. That word is loaded. It's alive and active. It can make decisions. It can close doors. It can open doors. You can be the most intelligent, the most prayerful, the most righteous. You're so certain you will get that employment or that contract. As you're about to get it, something goes out of order. What is going on? One man will just vex. The door will just close. Listen, child of God, don't worry. As you step back, you will see again, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. For those who don't understand, let me explain something. People will say, no, you have to be firm in your faith. If you have believed God for it, don't waver. That's why I said, don't be too quick to believe God for outward things. Believe God for the manifestation of his word. What I mean is this. They say, be firm. You said to God, is this year and is this our company? Is this office? The year is November 27th now. You understand my point? It's going to December 16th. They say, confess it. Give God more praise. That's what is lacking. Then you start giving him more praise. Say, that praise needs cymbals and harp. Suddenly you go and start Googling on the internet, where can you buy harp now? Who will deliver it before December 25th? Praise him on the 10-string instrument. Because when you praise him, he could download. You do all of that, it doesn't work. They say you have to be set. Listen, he said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Resistance to the devil is the humility under the mighty hand of God. I'm going somewhere. Listen, whom resist, he said, steadfast in your faith. Steadfastness of real faith is resistance to the devil. What I mean is this. If the devil, because he plays games, he's a thief. Are you getting my point? Yes. If the devil indeed wants to block what is rightfully mine, it is not shouting that it's mine, that's the issue. Because I may not be sure. It's an outward manifestation. But I step back and say, no good thing will you withhold from them that walk uprightly. That word is alive. It will drive that devil away even if I don't confront him directly. I don't know what I heard I said. Because whom resist steadfast in your faith? The fact that I have not changed my mind, that that my blessing is in God's hands and he will never withhold from me anything that is good. I don't change my mind about that, even the face of adversity. Listen, the devil will disappear. He will release it and let it come if he was the one holding it. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk up uprightly. It's the voice of God's word. The angels, and we've read in the scriptures, that when the devil and his agents are trying to withhold somebody's blessings, they get up, they are armed, and they go and fight so as to open the door. Is that not true? That's what happened to Daniel. How do we activate them? It's simple. We utter the voice of his word. A lot of times we think we are teaching faith, but we have caused people to lose heart because hope that is deferred, it makes the heart faint. I like Pentecostal preachers. Say to God this year, then you will take a seed and tie it down with it. Half of those who preach it don't know what they are saying. They heard this somewhere too. I'm a preacher, I know what I'm telling you. That's how what we do sometimes. We have to deliberately outgrow those behaviors. Every time I go to church, no, there was a day I heard myself saying, oh, if you want to connect with this blessing, you come and give it. I was just in church, normal, maybe somebody came to do Thanksgiving. Then I went to myself, what's wrong with you? Where did you hear that? You don't know me, that I've never heard it anywhere. That is like, just since you hear, you never read it somewhere. So I stopped saying it. The Bible says, rejoice with them that rejoice. That's all I know. Are you getting my point? And there's a blessing in obedience. So somebody is doing Thanksgiving, what I now say is the Bible says, rejoice with them that rejoice. That's all. There's a blessing tied to every obedience to the word of God. That's what I'm trying to explain. Once God says something and you obey it, there's a blessing. I first shared this revelation during my wedding. When they say to come and say thank you, you know, that kind of thing. I took the microphone. So the Bible says, rejoice with them that rejoice. Every one of you that came here today because I'm getting married, you are blessed. That was the first day I shared that revelation. Once God says something, you obey it, you are blessed. So what I tell people simply is, if somebody is doing Thanksgiving, Abraham's blessings as they are dancing, join. Why? It's commanded. Rejoice with those who rejoice. If they say the sign of rejoicing is give an offering, you too, give an offering. Rejoice with those who rejoice. What it will bring, you don't know for sure. But that it will bring a blessing, you can count on that. You can count on that. You can count on that. The point I'm making is that a lot of us say, this year, by force, God must release. I know they talk about me again. You know why? God's calendar does not run from January 1st to December 31st. In fact, this current Gregorian calendar, you know, it didn't used to be like this. Before, the beginning of the year was April 1 or March 1, one of the two. That is why December
It's Deca, you know. Deca is 10. Now it's the 12th month. Because March 1st used to be January, used to be the first day of the month, the year. So February was the last day. So when you hear of October, it's the 8th month. December, November, Nona, you've heard of Nona gone, Deca gone. Yes. One day one king woke up and said, from next year, January 1st shall be the first day of the year. And God probably has not recognized that calendar till now. You never can tell. So I'm not like to harass him with it. And I read a joke once. A young boy said to God, I heard that you are so rich. The 10 million naira just to you like 1 naira. God said, it's true. He said, God, give me 1 naira, which is 10 million by your standard. And God said to him, "Say no problem. Wait a moment, which is 1,000 years by my standard." You understand my point? How he measures his time, I don't know. But one thing I'm certain of, absolutely, is no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Are you getting my point? And each day, I cultivate walking uprightly. Are you getting that? He said, dwell in the land and cultivate what? Faithfulness. It's cultivation. Not even to cultivate. Make sure it increases. You harvest around it, weed around it, plant it, wet it. You understand? Sprinkle it, remove the weeds. Make sure faithfulness in your life increases. It's an effort. You put it in it. You put an effort into it, doing it every day. As long as you are doing that, you are guaranteed of one thing. No good thing will leave withhold from them that walk uprightly. And I'll tell you, as a matter of fact, God will outperform your expectations. He will. God will do what? Outperform your expectations. He will go far beyond that which you ever could have imagined. That's a matter of fact. He will. He will do exceedingly far above all that you can ask or even think about. He will. He will. And I have personal testimony to show that that's what he does. That's what he does. That is what he does. In fact, this is a very mundane, it's a small testimony, but let me just tell you to make you laugh. Well, a little encourage you a bit. This car, it's over 2 years now. This car I drive. You understand? Let's say 2 months before I bought the car. No, I bought the car in June. Yes, 2 months before it hadn't crossed my mind I should buy a car brand new. That is, you know the way Nigeria is? We've been tokumborized mentally. If you open our score like this, all the pictures there are of used cars. If you are browsing, once you see the 2011, you'll click next. You don't think about it. It's almost like an ungodly thought. Why should you be thinking about such things? And as God is my witness, so was I also. But except that the car I was using it was giving me serious headache. I drove down to Benin for a meeting. Let me enter the car I came with, which I drove all the way from Enugu to Benin. I turned the key. The car not just like say anybody did it. I said, this must be a joke. Come on. I drove this car for the last 4 hours. Got to a meeting, had a meeting, then drove down to come and deliver a luggage. And I just asked my father-in-law for 1 hour there about gist. Time to go. The motor not Greek or motor. My father-in-law said, no problem. I should just leave it there. He gave me the key to one of his cars. I should just take that one. That spirit that was pushing me jumped into his own car too. I park and finish. I finished the session, okay. To go back, let me go and collect my car. Let me return. That one till not grease that. No. I think I drove it back to the house to drive it out again. Now you not grease that. Because I can't remember anybody trying to help me start the outside. So I left that one. So he said, no problem. He gave me a key to another one. That one didn't give me any problem. In fact, one of my friends said that, look at life. That people will be looking and say, man, this guy is chopping life up because in 3 days, I drove 3 different cars. All of them nice looking. No,
He said, this life is fun. That people looking at it from outside now. We say this guy is chopping life. They won't know the genesis of this whole thing. So finally, when I went back, my car started at the time. That's my the first one. You understand? So I took it out. As I was driving, one day some people were following me somewhere. I was leading. They noticed that every time I hit the brake, my car go quench. Next day, I go have to start the car again. I said, man, this is my issue. So finally, one of the brothers in the car behind, what happened to your car? I said, man, this car is really embarrassing. I think the thing is due for change. I think I have to change this car. We're just talking, just gisting. They just said something. He said, no problem now. My company can help you buy one. And it's just 12%. Is it 12, he said? Yes. I said, how much did you buy your car? I was driving a brand new Kia Cerato. He said, 1.98. I said, 1.98? A whole brand new car? A complete one? He said, yes. I said, what? So one guy said he helped me buy, of course, the first thing I thought about was, no, forget that one. Somebody said he helped me buy a Camry, used Camry, sent it from the U.S. Now, I'm going somewhere. Listen to this story to interest you. The problem was that the guy who wanted to buy me the brand new Camry, not brand, the used Camry, which was coming for the same price, all right? The Camry was a few years old. That was 2004 or so. Then this was like 2009, yes. May 2009. It was going to come to the same price. That one car was going to come to about 2.something million. This one was 2 million. I look. The major issue, that guy said I had to give him cash complete, round, wrap the money, not one naira missing. If not, if I get that kind of money, you think Mutugu would embarrass me for it? And like, that was a major issue. That was the car I wanted to buy, but I did not have the money. So I said, well, I didn't like very small cars, but at least somebody's going to help me buy this, and I'll pay a very low interest rate. I just pay a portion, less than half up front, and then they spread the rest. He said, how long do I want? Anything between up to 24 months if I want. At a very low interest rate. I said, this is good. So my wife and I drove down to Kia here. So I said, I saw the car. How much? 1.98. That's just a little over under 2 million. I said, okay, nice. And I said, well, how much is the Optima? The difference in price was just about 250,000. I said, me that hate small cars before, I just abandoned the other one. Are you seeing the way the Lord was doing it? I moved to the 2008 Optima. I said, okay. I called the guy. I said, I'll take this other one. So he said, okay, they can't buy from here. The company where he works, they give LPOs. So they just give LPO to Dana Motors. Dana Motors will deliver the car. He called me and told me that. So I said, I told the guys here, sorry, I can't buy from you guys. So I had to call the Dana Motors guys in Lagos. So I got their number and called the guy. I still remember the guy, Mike, an Indian. Mike said, look, Doc, this is what I'm going to do for you. He told me how he's going to twist the car up to like a bot. The one he's giving me is this particular specification, so I have to add 100K. I said, Mike, that is where you're getting it wrong. We started this thing at 1.98. We went up to 2.25. Now you're saying I should do 2.35 because you put a few accessories here and there. I went and talked with my wife. We talk. He said, the money declined small. So I said, all right. So he said, look, Doc, I need to hear from you, all right? Because the thing, they are finishing. I have just a few units left. So next day, I called him. I said, all right, we've concluded. Send that one. He said, sorry. Anambra State government came and bought everything that was remaining. He said, but I have the 2009 model. That was 2008. I said, how much? He said, this one. I said, Mike, forget it. I said, sorry, thank you very much. It was good while it lasted. I'm not buying again. I just said, okay, no problem. The guy said, that I should understand that his business. That those guys came to buy, I think, about 15 units. So he had to give them everything he had. And he felt really bad. He said, okay, can I call you back? I said, go ahead. After about 30 minutes or 15, he called me back. He said, listen, I will do one favor for you. I will give you the 2009 at that same price. You are the only one I'm giving it to. The only difference is that instead of me delivering it in Enugu, because he said he'll drop the car for me here, he said, you have to come and pick it in Lagos. I said, that's not a problem. I bought the cheapest 2009 model Kia Optima in this country. Unless the man was lying to me. I saw the advert in the papers. I know that people that bought it. I got mine at the price of 2008. So one day the guy just called me and said, okay, pick your car from Port Harcourt. I just said, Ola Inka, how far? We'll get motor from Port Harcourt though. Inka said, no problem. I just didn't sit down for house night. They cried, drive, big bang. Now, what people would not understand, that I bought that car because I didn't have money. That's where I'm going. If I did, I would have bought an 04, 05 Camry. I bought an 09 Optima. We literally had a rubber tearing ceremony in my house. So we tell the children, I still have the pictures. Yeah, hold that rubber. We call it rubber tearing ceremony. We bought it because I didn't have money. Let me not bore you with the rest of the story. The way the money got paid up and how fast it went, it was an interesting story. I did not pay up to 10% interest on the whole thing. What is 10%? That's a joke. What a lot of people won't understand is that I bought the car because I didn't have the money to buy. But you see somebody else right beside me parked his old Camry there too. He paid more for his car than I did. With more effort, mine was absolutely stressless. Why that is the story? I told my wife then, I said, it would not have crossed my mind to go and price Kia Optima. For what? That is never crossed my mind. I didn't even tell that guy, I said, see you. He was driving behind me that day. He just said, Oga, we can help you buy a car. And interest is very good. Because the Camry I wanted to buy, I couldn't afford it. I had to take their own. It was not my first choice. This is the third year I'm using that car now. The Lord is good. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I said, God will outperform your expectations. That's how I told the story. He will. He will. He will outperform your expectations. Because the word is not just a scientific calculation. It has life. Are you getting my point? It can respond. It knows what is good for you. The word knows what is not good for you. Today I was in my office talking to one of my co-workers in the office, a lab scientist. We're discussing about America, Nigeria, UK, and all of that. When I finished explaining some principles, why I'm not too excited about certain countries and all of that, he said, you mean these things are like this and people want to die to get there? I said, they don't know. It's ignorance. God is arranging people's lives to bless them. Somebody just said, look, except you go to this particular country. If you get visa to Greece, don't try it. You know, this is not even by faith now, just by watching television. You get visa to Portugal, you're on your own. Spain, don't go near. As for United States, make sure you are highly skilled and your skill is wanted. UK, please stay at home first. Now, they beg you. There are people that they've denied them visa. They won't stop going. They should know. The time, it will be time to go for visa. You go no. Are you getting my point? You will know. The first time my wife went to apply for a British visa, you know, there are times you want to slap the person interviewing you on the other side and say, you are very stupid. Don't they have, you know? He said that the person who gave her invitation letter, that they bear different names, so she's not sure it's his sister. And I want to say that you see, apparently white men don't think the way you are talking. She's married, I'm married. Two sisters who are married, that how they bear the same name where you come from. So when she came out from there, she called me, and she called her sister, and they said, the sister said she forgot something then she forgot one bank statement at home, not even at home, it disappeared between my house and Abuja there. She doesn't know where it disappeared to. The sister said, okay, no, what she should do is that go and write an appeal of the verdict, and then this one, then because she is a British citizen, she will write this one. My wife told me on the phone, I said, my friend, come back home. She was feeling very bad. Because she went with Akinlu, the little boy. That okay, she will come back by road. I said, why? That she feels she wasted the money. I said, my friend, board that next flight. I said, I better come back home. Appeal what which visa? I said, you should know when the time for something is not right. Just come home. Come home. Come home. Come home. So she came back home. I said, you see, don't worry yourself. I told you, things have their season. For a few years, she forgot the whole idea. The next time she went, in fact, the summary of it was that she went, they didn't even do interview anymore, do thumbprint, put documents, drop it there, and then go away. And I said, okay, come back and collect visa. I said, hey, collect your passport. I said, listen, I come from Enugu. So they insisted that somebody that bears her name
You should collect for her. Just put Deji's name. That's my younger brother. At least they bear the same surname. And then they just collected it and said, they open it. They give me visa. They give me fine. That one expire. Next one, should I now collect 2 years or 5 years? It's the amount of money you want to pay. I don't think it crosses her mind that someone would deny her British visa now. For what? It's what? Season. I said, those days people were fighting to go to America. Now I was in Lagos. I said, me? Never. Kill? For white man to run around looking down on me, that is, I'll be too angry. So there's no point. You told the poverty in my pocket. I didn't care. The day I finally went for American visa, God, the word of God is living. The voice of his word. Because I said I won't kill. The day I got there, it was after it happened that I realized what happened. I read on their website that their visa fee is $100. So you can come with cash. So I went with $100 cash. Just put it in my passport and went. So when I got there, I was just gisting with one guy. And I said, have I paid in the bank? I said, paid what in the bank? Then they said, we can come with cash now. Then it was our turn. Like 9 o'clock they gave us. So they usually give like maybe like 20 people, 9 o'clock. So 9 o'clock, we're all hanging around there. You're 9 o'clock. So again, I said, you haven't got to pay. I said, no, they said we can come. I said, no, they don't accept cash. You have to go to UBA. As I was about to join the queue, are you getting my point? I left to go to UBA. By the time I came back, there was only one person on the queue. Are you getting my point? And they had just finished getting her documents to let her in, meaning that I got there, they collected my paper and let me in. I did not have to queue for 1 second. Because I said long ago, I ain't gonna queue. I've told this story several times. When the toughest person interviewing was the person that interviewed me. It was their chief, I didn't know. One black woman like this. The other two white girls were very nice. You see everything. That girl was just denying visa. Bah, 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 bah. Hey! Boys were collapsing. I remember the guy that put 4 million naira in an account. The woman looked at her and said, where did he say he worked? He said, Kaduna State Government. He said, you're a civil servant? How come you have 4 million in your account? Wah! Go home. I remember the guy, I still remember one tall, slim guy like this with the thin trousers. Man, the guy won't collapse. After I go borrow 4 million naira at interest, put down for account. Well, I can go home. When it was my turn, the guy beside me, one young lawyer. So, everybody was praying in the name of Jesus Christ. You know what? You can imagine Pentecostals. He said, Lord, I owe you this one. I go pay for Sunday. I hereby sow a seed so that they won't send me to that woman. And I remember I said to myself, I think I should talk to this lady. Let me see what about her that's so difficult. The next space opened was one of the white girls. So I said, well, I'll talk to one of these white ladies. Then that lady got up and walked out of her cubicle. So I continued waiting. Then, bam, it was her turn. The tall babe. Yeah. That guy beside me said, I still remember, he said, Because we had been gisting, we had gotten familiar. He said, I remember God in heaven is my witness. I'm not lying to you. I looked at him. I said, what? Let's see. I got up. I walked up there. Your papers, I passed it to her. She looked. Do you have pay slip? I said, no. I didn't know I needed it. So your bank statements, I gave it to her. Is it your salary account? I said, yes. Next thing she did was to fold her hand. You know, you see her calculating. Do some calculation. She looked at me, looked at the paper, looked at me, then put her hand like this. And God in heaven is my witness. I told myself, what's the problem? I just said, what's the problem? Say, your balance is too low. I said, The two accounts I went with, 100,000 naira was all the money inside, less than $1,000. And one of them was a mistake. One brother sent 70,000 naira to Kingdom World Ministries and he paid into my account. I did not even know. I printed the statement. That's how I found out later. Because I was saying, I don't know this money. I thought it was a mistake in this thing. And I said, let me call this guy. I just called him. So that is, I was going to go there with 30-something thousand naira balance. And God in heaven knew I didn't care. And the lady said to me, your balance is low. I said, You asked, these were my words. I'm giving you things that really happened. I said, you asked me whether it was a salary account, and I said yes. You know what that means? I earn money through it, and I spend it. I don't keep money there. This is one Nigerian. I'm sure she was just thinking to herself. I said, listen, I could have put money in there to impress you. I said, but what's the point? I only brought that to show you that I work, and that's the work I do, period. The lady asked me, when can you come back? we chatted a bit more. I said, what can you? She asked me, that, do you have any other thing to give me? No, I don't have any other thing. You want to see my marriage certificate? She said, no. She asked me, she said, do you know how many Nigerians abandon their wives and children and go to America? I said, that you are right. At the end, yeah. So I finished too. Waiting remain. Yeah, I said, okay, come on Tuesday and come and pick up the visa. God bless you. You know the will of God. I didn't tell her like that. At the end, we started chatting. And I said, I actually wanted to come and see you to see what it is that made you so difficult. That you've been denying visas since. She said, you guys were talking about me. I said, yes, we'll have to talk about you. Look at how you've been denying people $100 every time they show up. But this, it was because the time was right. That's it. And I remember I told you before, I said, I did not even ask God about it until the morning of the visa. I was about to leave my hotel room. I said, wait, oh, I've never prayed about this thing. And I think I stood on Nedam beside the bed. I said, God, for the record, I want to go for this course. It was 1 month. I was going to have a very nice time with my friend Chooks. And my friend Igboku, the one in UK, was coming to meet me. He heard I was coming. He said, we'll meet in New York. I said, Lord, I really want to go. The Lord said, no problem. Listen, I know I've taken your time. The day, he said, God opened this door. Abi? I've told the story before. The day he closed the door in my face. Why? I knelt down. I had promised my wife the holiday of a lifetime on my from this same trip on my way back. She had bought her ticket. I flew Emirates. Meet me in Dubai. Now, while I was in the U.S., I got a phone call. My father was critically ill. He was in hospital. He didn't recover from that sickness. How was I going to do it? Go on a holiday when my father is in hospital? How was I going to do it? Tell my wife that I'm canceling it. She had paid for the ticket, everything. Again, I knelt down. I said, Lord, see what is going on. In summary, God said, no problem. He took the door, boom, closed it. I called my wife. The door has been closed. She was distraught. I wept physically outside in the open at JFK. That's how painful it was. What was I going to do? I checked my luggage in for Lagos. When I got there, I had my computer there. I just flipped it over. They had hotspots in the airport. Checked my mail. The door was open again. I sent the guy a mail. I said, I'm sorry. I've already checked in for Lagos and my wife can't get another flight. That's it. That was 4 years ago. The door is closed till today. When it will open, I will know. Yeah. I will know. A day is going to open. Fling wide like this. God will say, bank it, take. This is $50,000. Blow it. Make sure you don't come back with one naira. I said, Lord, you know I know how to do that. No problem. I've taken your time today. Were you blessed today? All right, let's just bow down our heads and give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Just thank him for one single thing. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Thank him for that. Say, Lord, no good thing will you withhold from them that walk uprightly. You won't withhold it from me. I trust you. 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 Thank you very much, Lord, because you are watching over me. And all the good I'll ever need is in your hand. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.